Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hope you're having a pleasant Monday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We left you last week as we were going through this book, Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith by Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery, talking about how Joseph Smith, as the authors say, was testing the waters to see how people would respond to the alleged revelation on plural marriage. According to the authors, early in the summer of 1841, he publicly tested the waters for this new order of marriage, and it states that Emma, Joseph Smith's wife, sat in a Sunday morning service in the Grove of Trees used as a meeting place and listened to Joseph preach the restoration of all things as they were in the times of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They go on to say, Eric, that there was a church member there by the name of Joseph Lee Robinson, who heard the speech.
This is what his journal said. "This was to me the first intimation that I ever received that polygamy would ever be practiced or lawful with this people." And it goes on and says, his brother Ebenezer later wrote of Don Carlos Smith's reaction, quote, "Any man who will teach and practice the doctrine of spiritual wifery will go to hell. I don't care if it is my brother Joseph," end quote.
I love that line. I mean, this Don Carlos Smith is Joseph Smith's brother. Obviously, Joseph Smith has not convinced even his own family members that are privy to this, and how many actually were, we don't know. But apparently, Don Carlos Smith had some strong feelings against the practice of plural marriage. To say, any man who will teach and practice the doctrine of spiritual wifery will go to hell. I don't care if it is my brother Joseph. But yet, we know that this becomes a standard practice in the LDS Church. Now, certainly not all males in the Mormon Church would practice plural marriage. One, they couldn't all afford it. And it's amazing, too, since we know from statistics that there was always a shortage of women. It seems kind of odd that you would have the leaders in the Mormon Church practicing this and actually taking away from the pool of females necessary for the male members, because
for them to attain exaltation, they were going to need to be married. And if these other men were marrying a lot of the eligible women, it made a harder proposition for them to be able to fulfill.
It would seem to be very difficult. Anyway, go on with that paragraph.
Joseph Robinson said the prophet went home to dinner, but, quote, several of the first women of the church collected at the prophet's house with his wife, end quote, saying, quote, "Oh, Mr. Smith, you have done it now. It will never do. Why, it at all is but blasphemy. You must take back what you have said today. It is outrageous. It would ruin us as a people," end quote. Helen Mar Kimball, Violet's and Heber's daughter, later identified several of the women, including her mother and Emma, who were so persuasive.
Now, Violet Kimball certainly did have problems with polygamy. We know in reading the story about Violet Kimball, she apparently really loved Heber C., okay, who was very close to Joseph Smith, very close to Brigham Young, in fact, was part of the first presidency under Brigham Young. But Violet Kimball had some real strong reactions against plural marriage. And Heber's daughter, we're talking about Helen Mar Kimball, she was a teenager. She was 14 when she was married to Joseph Smith. And we're going to get to that story later on. If Joseph Smith was testing the waters with that particular sermon in the early summer of 1841, it doesn't appear like it's going very well.
Quote, "I will have to take that saying back and leave it as though there had been nothing said," end quote, Joseph acquiesced, interrupting his dinner and returning to the grove to address the congregation again in the afternoon. Minimizing his morning message, he told them that the time for plural wives was in the future and admonished his listeners not to be concerned. He promised them that the Lord would help them to understand the purpose and do his will if they were faithful. but the future would be for the general membership. Not only had Joseph already taken plural wives, but over the next few months he would initiate the practice among a handful of his most trusted followers.
I can't help but take away from this paragraph that statement by Joseph Smith, where he's trying to put his listeners at ease. He says, admonished his listeners not to be concerned. They better be concerned, because this is going to happen right away. This is 1841. Mm-hmm. 1842, Joseph Smith is going to take several wives as his plural wives. And what's interesting about this, folks, most of the women that Joseph Smith will marry in 1842 had living husbands at the time.
If you look at the list from Todd Compton in Sacred Loneliness in his book, the first 12 wives that he took, two were single, one was widowed, the other nine were married. That's quite a number.
And I think it's important to once again bring up the fact that the only excuse that we find in Mormon scripture for taking on more than one wife is found in Jacob 2, verse 30, where God says that if he wants to raise up seed, he'll do that. He'll change his mind. Otherwise, one wife was to be the norm.
And you would have to prove that those men that were the nine women that were married already were somehow impotent to be able to justify, according to Jacob too, that they needed some kind of a help, like a Joseph Smith, to come and give seed.
But to take on a wife who was already married goes against the grain of just about everything you could possibly imagine in civilized culture. That's always considered wrong. But yet, Smith, look at how he does this. This man is incredibly clever and manipulative. How does he get a man to agree to give his wife to him as a plural wife? I just can't even imagine what man would do that unless they were so stinking deluded in thinking that this guy can do no wrong. But yet, Smith does not have a track record of doing no wrong. He makes a lot of mistakes up until this point. He's constantly doing things that we find out later on just weren't right and did not work out. The Kirtland Bank failure would be one example, certainly. But how do men do this? If you're a Mormon male living today, let's just say hypothetically, Thomas S. Monson, the current president of the Mormon Church, all of a sudden comes up with this revelation that it's okay to have more than one wife, and let's say he was to come to you and say he wanted your wife. How are you going to argue against it? How did they argue against it? They would say, well, but the Bible doesn't support it. Well, does Joseph Smith really care what the Bible says? He seems to pick and choose Bible verses that only support his presuppositions. And of course, you do find plural marriage in the Bible. You don't usually find very good results of it. But it's there.
It's not commanded, though, and I think that's an important point. But even if you're going to say, well, somehow it's inferred that God wanted people to be polygamous, where in the Bible does it say, or the Book of Mormon as well, say that people could be polyandrous, which is what this is, the
right.
Idea of marrying multiple men. Women were not supposed to do that.
Well, let me go on in that next paragraph, because it says the confrontation with Joseph over his sermon in the grove opened old issues for Emma. They certainly must have had conversations about plural marriage in Kirtland, but there is no record of how he might have alleviated Emma's fears that the problem would resurface, or if he explained to her a theological structure that would allow men more than one wife. Whatever he said to her, Emma's love for Joseph, together with her own pious upbringing, left no room for such a doctrine. If that's really Emma's feelings, this is the assumption that the authors are giving us. Well, she had a great love for Joseph Smith. I would tend to think that's going to start changing a little bit when it comes into this Nauvoo period. We're early in the Nauvoo period. But as it goes on towards 1844, I don't know if that was really the case. I know the films that the Mormon Church puts out showing Emma's relationship with Joseph Smith is just being this wild-eyed, fanciful, romantic relationship. I don't know in the later years if that was actually true.
Well, this book certainly doesn't show that to be the image. No. In fact, there are many confrontations that they have and many arguments that this book does detail. We're not going to be able to go over every single one of these, but if you were to read this book, Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, you would see that this was not a marriage necessarily made in heaven. Emma put up with a lot that many women may not have put up with. You have to give her credit for that. She did put up with this, but she was never in agreement with this issue of polygamy.
Well, if the authors are going to say that it was her love for Joseph that gave her that hard time with it, I would say that would certainly be the case with Violet Kimball. Because from what I read about Violet Kimball, that was a problem with her. She very much loved Heber C. as her husband and felt terrible about this. Heber C. Kimball supposedly did too. He was hoping for some older woman that wouldn't seem like a threat to his first wife when finally he did acquiesce to what Joseph Smith was telling him to do. And what does Joseph Smith do? Marry this younger one. I'm sorry, folks. I'm an outsider looking in. I admit it. But this man's vicious. I do not see this man, Joseph Smith, as portraying the attitude of a Christian believer.
Well, and if you're a Latter-day Saint believer out there and listening to us and disagreeing, we're just going with the history of what your own folks have said. People who are considering themselves Latter-day Saints, the history is pretty clear. What's your view on this? Do you think that Joseph Smith was doing the right thing? Was he really commanded by God to not only marry multiple women, but to have somebody like his friend marry a younger woman who was going to be competition for the wife?
Yeah, to go and to test them, okay, to test them, I think is horrible. I think it's just horrible of him to do it like this. Now, you might say, well, what about God testing, you know, in the Old Testament? That's God doing that. You know, we know from Scripture that that's God doing that. I don't have a big problem with that. This man is not God, though he certainly wants to act like he probably is at times. He is not. We need to understand he is a fallen man. He needs to be questioned just like every other human being. And for any Mormon to look at Joseph Smith and just give him, as we've said many times, a blanket pass to do whatever he wants and to say whatever he wants, I'm sorry, folks, but that is cultish. And you wonder why that four-letter label is attached to the LDS Church? When you look at how Joseph Smith behaved in the 19th century, how can you come to any other conclusion?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org. Looking for a book on Mormonism? When you're in the Salt Lake City area, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is the place to go. Here, you'll find the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including Answering Mormon's Questions, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. In addition, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple in Salt Lake City.